There's, I see some book outs every once in a while, but down around the Forsyth Branson area.
Yeah, they're probably Uncle Joe's descendants.
But she married a roller, right?
She was a roller.
She was a roller.
And married a book out.
She married a book out.
Okay.
She married.
You like that Dell?
Mm-hmm.
I swear I'd never buy another Dell.
Why?
I spent about $2,100 on that one, and now it's make a good boat anchor.
Wow.
Something that won't even turn on.
Was your grandmother from this area as well?
Oh yeah, yeah. She was born here. I think the Bookout that came over here was named Joseph Bookout, and I think he lived in South Carolina or somewhere down in there, and he lived to be 106 years old.
Really?
Yeah, my sister.
So he was Dutch?
Well, it didn't. Yeah, it was spelled different. It wasn't just B O K O U T. Then it was some oddball Dutch spelling. But anyway, Mabel, my sister that did all this and the research, she went down there. She had a picture of his tombstone. Joseph Bookout. I think he was probably the one that come over. He was born in 1700, I think, and died in 1806 or something like that.
Wow, that's a good run.
Yeah, pretty good long time.
Like that woman living in three centuries, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
110.
Yeah.
Where was she from, Kansas City?
Kansas, somewhere in Kansas.
Kansas. How old were your parents when they live?
My dad was 85 and my mom was 91. She's almost 91. She died just for her birthday.
That's the one who liked McDonald's.
My grandmother lived to be 100 years old. She was born in 1858 and died in 1958.
I think my screen's dirty.
We went to her 100th birthday. Christy and Susie was babies. We
really
went to grandma's 100th birthday.
It's gonna be thrilling for a grandmother or a great grandmother to see great grandkids. Or maybe by that time you're just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, you get pretty blasé. You know, yeah, I got two great grandchildren.
I haven't even
seen Luke, so.
Yeah.
I wasn't excited enough to drive to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That's what he's like.
Don't tell Rachel that.
Yeah.
Well, Rachel and I, we have a pretty good relationship. I called her and congratulated her. In my mind, I can still see Rachel as that little old girl that would dance around in front of the Christmas tree. You know, it's hard for me to remember, you know, that she's an old married woman now with two kids.
Kids, yeah. It's amazing how life changes so quickly.
Don't seem like any time, it just happens all of a sudden. Yeah, I was the youngest of 11 children. My dad was 48 when I was born. And I was 48 when Angela was born.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm. So you're going to figure my age now.
You was the seventh son. Was you the seventh son?
Fifth.
Who was the fifth son?
Yeah.
I was trying to get a werewolf connection.
No.
He was the seventh son, she was the seventh child.
Yeah.
And your dad lived to 90 to 90?
85.
85, wow,
that's great. He died of Alzheimer's, I guess. Basically, he got to where he didn't know who he was or who anybody else was. My sister Mabel, her husband died, and she lived out in California. She come back to help my mom. He didn't know who she was. He called her that old woman.
He probably did really have high blood pressure.
Oh yeah, he had it all.
He probably had exactly what you had.
Yeah, I come home on leave from the Navy one time and something was wrong with the old man. I loaded him in my car and took him to the doctor. The doctor come out, took a urine sample and he came out and it looked like a big glass of pus. He had some kind of a bad infection.
Really?
But he lived several years after that. I guess they got him cleared up.
There were a lot of
Lisa's grandma. She was having those little mini strokes, and she got to where she was just a blithering idiot. Just
yeah.
But I, well, hers were.
Well, they he was so strong.
Including carotid artery.
He was so strong, even though he was 85 years old, they took him to the hospital, and he wouldn't know where he was, and he would get scared.
I was noticing how.
And he would kind of get violent, and old Don Downs, my brother-in-law, went in there one time. These two guys was trying to get him calmed down. He wouldn't have an arm. He just slang him off. And Don walked in there and he says, "What's the matter, Everett?" And when he heard Don's voice, he recognized it and he calmed right down. But he wouldn't let those two guys. He didn't know them, so he wouldn't. He didn't. But they couldn't. Two young men couldn't handle him. He was so strong. Worked hard all his life. His hands were, you know, we did everything the hardest way and did it all by hand. His hands were so
calloused.
Yeah, so calloused and rough. He'd slap you and he felt like he'd hit you with a club.
You were telling me some funny stories about your brothers. How they, maybe your older brother. Sort of pick on you a little bit.
Yeah.
Walter did something. Yeah, Walter.
He kept me. He kept me under control. Kept me from being spoiled.
Switch places with you in the bed.
Yeah.
Oh, he told me the bed thing. That's right. He told me that one bed story where
I got to sleep on the front of the bed.
Yeah.
My dad came.
You thought you were really moving up in the world.
Tell that one again. Tell that one. That's sweet.
Well, my brother Bill, there's three of us slept in the bed. Now, I always had to sleep in the middle, see. Well, Bill left home. He got to be about 20 or however old he was. He went off. I think he went off to Iowa or somewhere and got a job. So I left Walter and the bed was right up against the wall. There was two beds in the bedroom, and a girl slept in one bed, and the boy slept in the other, and it was pushed up against the wall. So after Bill left, I had to sleep against the wall because I was like five. Or six, maybe, I don't know. I still wasn't old enough. I didn't get up and help do the chores. And Walter would sleep on the front of the bed where he could get up in the morning and go do the chores. He was getting ready to go to bed one night, and he said, "Let's trade sides of the bed." I said, "Well, this is it. I'm finally getting moving up in the world. I'm getting to be an adult here. Get to sleep on the outside of the bed." Next morning, I heard my dad call Walter. It's still dark. To get up and do the chores. We did the chores by lantern. We get one of them old kerosene lanterns and do the chores. One of just laid down. I thought, boy, he's going to get in trouble. My dad called him a second time. He just laid there. I said, uh-oh. Because my dad, he didn't tolerate you not minding. He come in there and jerked him covered down. He had his razor strap. He had a big old wide leather thing. He'd sharpen his straight razor. He just swapped him. Four or five times. Just turned around and walked out. Didn't even know the lights is dark in here.
Your brother got up and went to the chore.
As soon as he left, Walter got up and got dressed.
Well, that's funny.
that's sibling love, right there. That's nice.
Anyway, to show you how simple-minded I was, Walter did milk it. I was 7 years old, so I went out there one day and he had a milk bucket sitting there, so I just got it and got me a stool and sat down and started trying to milk a cow. Mm. Walter got up and he grabbed me and walked over and threw me out of the barn. So I just went and told my dad, "Walter won't let me learn to milk." Well, my dad chewed him out. "You let him learn to milk."
You milk every day after that?
Two or three or four days, I got to where I can milk them old cows pretty good. Walter come in. Told my dad, "Well, Paul knows how to milk now." He says, "Well, you don't have to milk anymore. You can milk from now on." I had to do all the milking after that.
Ambitious.
Tell a story about your 11 cents.
Oh, well, yeah.
Dave's
my sister Vesta married this Indian from Powesco, Oklahoma, and he was an Oto Indian. He got that oil money. This is back in the 30s. So they always... I think they got a new car every other year. And they come one time, and his name was Ben Courtney. Ben gave me a dime and a penny. And I carried him around for a few days, and I got afraid I'd lose him. So I got a tobacco sack and put my 11 cents in it and put it in my dad's dresser drawer. I think just before school started, I got a chance to go to Sparta. Somebody was going to Sparta. We live 3 miles from Sparta, and I didn't get to go to town. So I said, well, yes, somebody was going. They said, you want to go to town? I said, yeah, I just managed to get my 11 cents. I went in there, dug around that drawer, and I couldn't find it. And I went out and said, nah, my money's gone. I don't guess I'll go.
You were fixing to do some big spending.
Yeah, I was going to go live it up. I found out later, my brother Walter got it and went and bought a pack of cigarettes. He could buy a pack of cigarettes.
What a pack of cigarettes cost?
As luck would have it, you could buy a package of wing cigarettes for 11 cents.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The only king-size cigarette on the market.
That was really kind of high for this.
Yeah.
So really, maybe they're not so high now. I think, what are they, $4 or $5 a pack?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, later in life, Walter and I, we would sneak eggs out of the chicken house, and you could sell eggs here. So every day we'd get a couple of eggs and hide them out in the fence row, and we got dust, and we'd take them to town.
Skimming the profits.
Yeah. So I took a dozen eggs in, and I bought a pack of cigarettes. We would buy that old Bull Durham and roll our own. We kept it hidden. We had a brooder house where we raised young chickens, but when we wasn't raising chickens, it was just empty. And so we would hide our Bull Durham in the chicken house, and we'd go down and roll us a cigarette and smoke. So anyway, I went to town one time, and I bought a pack of cigarettes. And I come back, and Walter said, let's go roll us a cigarette. I said, okay. So we went down to the brooder house, and he got the tobacco out and the papers, and he handed it to me, and I said, I don't think I'll have one right now. So he got his cigarette rolled. I said, well, maybe I will have a cigarette. And I got my tailor-made cigarettes out. No. He said, why are you smart, Alec? You wasn't going to share them, honey. He took them away from me. I never did get to smoke any more of them.
That's fun stuff.
And we used to have corn cob fights with the neighbor kids, and a bunch of neighbors would come over, and we'd have corn, we'd choose up sides and have corn cob fights. We'd throw corn cobs at each other. And old George Simpson was over there one time, and somebody found a cob, and it was in the barnyard, and it was all covered with crap, pig shit. And George was hiding, and he stuck his head out, and about that time somebody had thrown that big old thing, hit him right in the head with that big old cob full of corn with full of pig shit.
It's farm fun.
Yeah. Yeah, entertainment was hard to come by in those days, Dave. You had to entertain yourself. No toys.
You guys didn't have electricity for a while, right?
I left home before we had electricity. Well, we moved to town before we ever had electricity. Uh-huh. But anyway, there's a big old rock house down there, and when we come back down there, it later burned down, but when we first come back here...
A rock house burned down?
Big old rock house. Well, the insides all burned out. But anyway, when I was driving a kid and we passed it, I said, there's a historical monument, kids. And they said, well, what is it? So I had to tell them a story. I used to pick blackberries, and I'd pick a gallon of blackberries, and the people lived there were named Eichels. And Miss Eichels would always buy my blackberries. If I picked a gallon and take it to her, she'd give me a quarter for them. I was probably 10 or 12 years old by then. I don't know. I was 10 at least. So I took my blackberries over there one day, and she gave me my quarter. And she had a little boy named Richard that was probably 3 or 4 years younger than I was. She said, why don't you stay and play with Richard a while? Richard was lonesome, you know. So I said, okay. And I went in there, and here was all these store-bought little cars and trucks. And boy, we got to play with them. I never had got to play with a store-bought toy before. But anyway, I got the urge to go to the bathroom, and I said, Richard, I've got to go home. He said, well, how come? I said, well, I got to go to the bathroom. He said, well, come in here. And he went in here, and here was an inside toy. So he said, let's use this. Well, I had to go number two, and I crapped a big old turd in there. And I looked around, and I couldn't see no way to flush it. So I just went back in, got to playing with them little cars again. Pretty soon his mother come in and grabbed him and says, I told you to flush that toilet and you use it. She gave him a whipping. And he didn't tell her it was me. He didn't. He was, I kind of liked him after that. He didn't blow the whistle. So I said, that's the first place your dad ever went to the bathroom in the house.
Historical marker.
Yeah, that kid probably grew up to be an honorable person.
No, he grew up and he became an alcoholic. And a bunch of them was in a boat one time out on the lake and they was all drunk and Richard fell out of the boat. Somebody said, hey, Richard fell out of the boat. No, oh, we'll go get him. And he stopped and put the boat in reverse and backed up and ran over him, cut his arm off.
My God.
He died. Did he die?
Yeah, well, not long after that, he got something wrong with him. Hey, yeah. That didn't kill him, getting his arm cut off.
Infection.
Cut his arm off with the propeller.
Oh, how awful.
That's dead.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he didn't feel much being drunk.
No, probably didn't even hurt him.
Yeah, right.
Felt it the next day.
Yeah. How many eggs?
Bet he was hurting when it was healing.
I'll take two.
Great. What? Dad, you want an egg or two?
No, I don't think I will. I ate one of them. The donut is about like a big old rock in my...
So how did store-bought toys measure up to
poor superior. Well, we get them boxes of matches, big old matches, you know, and they come in another box.
Yeah.
We would take the inside box out, and we would pinch a hole in it and tie a string in there, and we'd pull it around like it was our truck,
you know,
dirt or rocks and drag it around. We'd make little roads through there, and we'd drag that thing around. That was our truck. Then he had one that had wheels on it. And we'd get a shingle or something and whittle us out a little gun-shaped thing, and we'd play cowboys, you know, point bang and point them at each other.
But my dad grew up about the same time, not too far from.
Yeah, not far from. Yeah.
There was only three of those boys though, and so there was more resources to go around when you had three. Like my mom's family, there was 11, and so they was just like
I guess, yeah.
But my dad, since there was just three boys, they had a bicycle, but they couldn't ride the bicycle down the road past the next family, the next neighbor down there, because they had a bunch of kids and all the kids would feel bad if they seen that bicycle. So they had to keep the bicycle in the yard.
They old bicycles. I didn't ever have a bicycle until I got, I don't know, I guess maybe I was a junior or senior in high school when I used to go to Iowa and work for old Clarence Thompson, and he'd give me, probably pay me about twice what I was worth, and then I'd buy my own school clothes and everything, and I bought a bicycle one time.
Was it new? You bought a new bike?
Oh, no, gosh, no. Bought it off of Jake Watts.
Jake go out and buy his first truck then?
Jake
got the truck business?
Yeah, he got the truck business, but I don't know.
The boys are still in that same truck business.
Jake was in my class, and we was the same size in one summer.
He grew.
Come back that fall, and he was 5 inches taller than everybody else. But he was so awkward that we put him on our basketball team, but he'd throw him the ball, and he couldn't catch it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, one of his sons chased me all around Sparta campus.
Oh, is that right?
He's going to kill me because I was making fun of his haircut. He was like 3 or 4 years older than me. I knew if he caught me, he'd kill me.
What? I didn't know. He had what? Two boys and a girl?
Two boys and a girl.
Yeah.
Your dad grew up in the same house you guys live in now, right?
His dad?
Yeah.
No. That was my great-grandfather's house. And they did move there later. But my dad, he grew up pretty close to where Paul did part of the time. He lived over there.
Over where? Haynes.
Yeah, Haynes is.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah, my folks are.
That old house by where Karen Haynes lives.
That's
where he's at.
You know that old log house in there?
Yeah, that old.
You know,
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where, yeah.
That's who lived there? Your father?
His grandparents.
Oh.
Probably my dad remembers them. They used to be the Chadwick Flyer, the train that went through there.
Oh, okay.
And he remembers them taking that out. He said he stood on a corner post and watched them pull those tracks out of there.
Yeah.
You were telling a story about that.
Yeah, I remember that well. My brother Bill carried me piggyback through the fields over there, and we laid down on them high banks with it. You know, where
they're pulling it out.
Cutting through, yeah. And the engine was a flat car, and they would pull them rails up and put them on the flat car, and then they'd take all the ties and put them on the flat car, and then the train would move up another notch. And
they cut all the wood out of Chadwick, so their rail head was done.
Wasn't any use coming down there anymore. Well, I think they started sawing out those ties then, maybe, but that time, I'm not sure. They didn't hand heal them, I don't think, after that.
Were you out of high school before you joined the Army?
Oh, yeah.
Joined the Navy?
I got out of high school. I wasn't 17 yet.
Okay.
And then I went to Kansas for the wheat harvest, and then went to Iowa, worked a little while, and then I come home, and my brother Bill was there. He had gotten out of the service. He said, "Why don't you go to St. Louis with me, and I'll get you a job." I said, "Okay." So he got me a job in this fan factory, you know, assembly, line work. And I worked there almost a year, got to be 18, and this old guy named Joe, something or other, I don't remember Joe's last name, we was on a night shift. One Friday he said, "Let's go join the Navy." I was living in this place like a room and board. I had a room, and well, I boarded with my brother. I'd go to his house to eat. So I said, "Okay, we'll come by the house and we'll go join us." I figured he was just talking. Well, the next morning, bright and early, here he come. So we caught the streetcar in downtown. We had to go right downtown to the recruiting office. Went in there, gave us a little 100-question test, and I think I got 98 of them right. Joe only got 21 of them right. And they wouldn't take him.
Yeah, that's funny.
A little old.
But anyway.
You'll see. Well, kind of
about 2 days later, this recruiter showed up in my house, and he said, "Are you ready to go?" I said, "Anytime." He said, "We'll be down there with your bag and baggage tomorrow." And I went down there. I didn't have any. I had a little campus sack. I think I maybe had one change of clothes in. And I went down there and they had several of us, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 of us. They threw us on a train, sent us to Great Lakes. We got to Great Lakes, this big old, call it a drill hall, but like a big gymnasium. They run us in there and they give us a cardboard box and said, "Take your clothes off and put it in a box." And we stripped off stark naked. Didn't nothing. Sheet box, threw everything in the box. I didn't know what it was going to do with it. Wound up, they sent it to my mom. She got my clothes in the mail. She thought I'd died. But anyway, they run us around there and give us a physical, you know. We'd go here and one doctor would look at us, you know, and they'd bend over and spread your cheeks and they'd look in our mouth. And then we went in this one line and they give us a little bottle and had to pee in that bottle. Well, this one guy right ahead of me, it was maybe a half a pint. He peed it level full, and he held it real Navy-like. He turned around like this, it slipped off his hand, and it fell right at my feet and busted and splashed piss all the way to my knees. And then I just had to keep going, and it dried down there.
Oh.
I didn't ever remember who he was, or I'd have been able to piss at him, but. The time we got, they had us so scared we were afraid to do anything. And anyway, at the end of the day, they run us through this line and give us a bunch of clothes. They stenciled our name on them, threw them in a big old sea bag, and we'd start carrying that sea bag everywhere we went. And then they formed us up. The next day we got up, and they formed us up in a company and marched us over to our barracks where we was going to go through boot camp. We didn't know how to march. He just actually just lined us up and we was walking along. Come a siren. We started hearing this siren. And this old boy, this old chief, he was taking us over there. We didn't know how to march, so he couldn't give us a right flank command, so he get us off the road. He said, run to the side! So we all run up on a bike and that fire truck went by. We was over there, I think we was there 9 weeks, and then we got a 6-hour pass. We was all, you know, they just run clippers over your head, and, well, then my clothes didn't fit and all that. We went into town, everybody could tell we was raw recruits. We got 6 hours, went in there.
Relax.
They give us $10, I think they call it the flying 10. You had to fill out a paycheck, and they give us 10 bucks, so. But I had money anyway. I had like 30 bucks. I got my last paycheck just before I left, and I didn't get any place to spend it. And somebody stole that off of me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Stole it out of my sea bag. Mm. We had a thing here. You hang your sea bag on it, you tied it on there. You know, there's no way you could secure them sea bags. And I guess somebody seen me putting my money in there. Every time we went somewhere, we left a couple of guys there to clean the barracks. I guess one of them had seen me. Anyway, he took my wallet, it had my name in it, and he threw it in this other kid's sea bag. Boy, they about put him in the brig. You know, they started searching, they found my wallet. There was no money in it. This kid, I remember him, his name was Eastman. Found my wallet in Eastman's bag. They had him grilling him, and he was crying. They could never find the money. But anyway, they gave us the flying 10, and we had that when we. Well, they took us. When they give us that, they also give us a little shaving kit. It had a toothpaste and toothbrush and razor, and they took that out of the flying 10. That was $3 or $4. So we had.
They took it out of it.
You had to pay for it.
What'd you do while you was in town? You
go see just walked around. Just looking stupid, I guess.
Can't really go hang out.
No, yeah. No, too can't young come, to drink. Can't come back. Didn't know anybody.
What, were you in Chicago?
No.
Just north of
there.
It's
that little old town, there, close to Great Lakes. I can't think of the name of it now, but it's just a little old town there in Illinois, just before you get to the...
Michigan City?
No, just before you get to...
Wisconsin line.
Yeah. Oh, north of Great Lakes. But anyway.
Where was your first duty station?
USS Worcester. What they give us, after we got out of, when we finished boot camp, they paid us for whatever that was, 2 or 3 months we was in there, and give us 30 days, or no, 2 weeks leave, I think. They give us 2 weeks leave. We got 30 days a month, or a year, but they give us 2 weeks of it, and I bought the train ticket and went home. And then when I got back, they started giving us our orders, and I got assigned to the USS Worcester, me and about four other kids from my company. And they put us on a troop train and sent us to Philadelphia. It was in the... Well, when we got to Philadelphia, we had to stay in the receiving center there because the ship was been commissioned, and they was out on a ship on a cruise. And then when they come back, they took us over and stuck us on the ship. Anyway, got on the ship, and I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, somebody told me, the storekeeper's got a good racket. So they lined us all up at this office, and while we was in boot camp, they took us over to this big old rec hall and gave us a battery of tests all day long. We took tests all day long. And, I didn't think they were very important, so I just did the best I could on them. They gave us four scores. They gave us a GED and a math and a administrative or something else. Give us these four tests. So anyway, when I got aboard ship, they lined us up at the executive office, and this yeoman was trying to, make assignments for us. So he called in there, and he had my record there, and he says, "What do you want to do?" I said, "Well, how about a storekeeper?" He said, "Boy, you got awful good marks here on your test you took." said, how about electronics? I said, well, I don't know. What do they do? He said, well, they work on radios and radars. I said, can I get out of it if I don't like it? Oh, yeah. He lied to me. Once you get stuck in something, you're stuck.
Breakfast ready. You want to say prayers and then hit a line?
Bless the dear Lord and these your gifts which you're about to receive from your goodness through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks for the cook.
So anyway, they sent me to the electronic division and then they sent me back to Great Lakes to school to learn electronics.
So did you go out on a, did you have to cruise on the Worcestershire one cruise before you?
Yeah.
How far was that?
Just like a couple of days out.
Oh, your egg's over easy, you better bring up a good amount of help.
Anyway, though, when I got to Great Lakes, I'd been aboard ship. Most of them kids coming right straight from boot camp. They had been guaranteed to ET school before they joined.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I got to be a section leader since I was a fleet sailor. So I was in charge of my section. And we lived in a little room. The section leaders had a little room in the barracks.
Hurry up.
These guys hadn't been to basic training yet.
Yeah. The other one. They had been boot camp, but they had not been assigned to a ship or anything.
Oh.